Robert.
Very, very good to see everybody here. It's great to have such a fantastic turnout for what is such a huge, hugely important issue for all of us. I hope just to give you a few thoughts, partly from the perspective of a constituency MP and partly from the perspective of the chairman of the All-Party Parliamentary Group for Small and Micro Businesses. And we have an extraordinarily difficult task, really, we're considering today, because we have the collision of two concepts which are very linked but quite different. You have the very dry economic basis of taxation, but very much coming into contact with what is an emotional concept, which is one of fairness. And of course, it's very difficult when you consider fairness to consider what you're trying to do without considering who you're trying to be fair to. You know, are you trying to be fair to the person who is starting up a company, who has invested their savings, who has invested their time, their effort, their emotion into it? Are you trying to be fair to the end consumer? Are you trying to be fair to communities that may be relying upon the character of their high streets? But this is nonetheless an issue that we absolutely have to grapple with. Because from a constituency MP's perspective, there's no doubt this concept of fairness is one that is very much live amongst my constituents. Because we all value the small shops, the small businesses that populate our high streets, these jewels of our high streets that we see as we go to our local towns and villages. Very much when you knock upon people's doors, one of the questions they will ask you as a constituency MP is, what are you doing about Mrs. Smith who is running the local bookshop? What are you doing about someone who's running the local corner shop? Don't you think it'd be a good idea if we had a village shop, somewhere that I can go to pop down to buy a loaf of bread, to buy a pint of milk? What about if I want to buy a camera? What about if I want to buy a slow cooker? Do I go to the shop in the town centre where someone's been present for years? They've built up years' worth of experience and expertise and customer service. Or do you go to an online retailer where you have choice, where you have convenience, and where, particularly when all of us are living lives in which we are working longer hours, often further from home, and we simply may not be able to get out down to the high street. So exactly what is it that we're seeking to address when we're looking for fairness, and to what aim? Now, there's certainly no doubt that all of us see that there is an imbalance between the likes of large global multinational companies. Amazon's the classic example, with turnovers of £10 billion plus, when they're campaigning, essentially competing with a local business that is doing so, but that local business has to pay business rates, whereas that large internet-based company does not. But there is a real challenge here, because we have to be very careful, it seems to me, that we don't simply take the attitude of trying to simply tax upwards in order to try to level a playing field, if that simply doesn't help. What we ultimately have to be doing, it seems to me, is finding ways in which we can encourage all businesses, no matter how they're based, to be increasingly dynamic, to be increasingly competitive, no matter how they're based. I want to see high streets that are thriving, that are full of colourful businesses, that are full of all the activity and optimism that we all see around us. I've got an outstanding example in my constituency. I did the opening event for the West Oxfordshire Business Awards only this week gone, and it was a gag I particularly enjoyed making to Mel in a Westminster Hall debate a little while ago. I don't know if he remembers. It was not long after the Little Red Book had been produced by the Shadow Chancellor, and I also have my Little Red Book, but my Little Red Book is the dictionary, is the essentially the dictionary, the Bible of successful West Oxfordshire businesses, as opposed to political philosophy from the far left. So I have that shining example of my constituency, of shops, of businesses who've started up, of people who've taken a chance and made a success of their businesses. It's that I want to see more of. So we have to find a balance between ensuring that there is a fairness so that people who aren't competing on a business rate basis can compete on a level playing field with those who very much are. But underscoring that, we must, it seems to me, have an economy whereby entrepreneurship, startups are rewarded and encouraged. And it's that dynamism that ultimately, in my view, will lead to the fairness that we all wish to see. And I hope we can explore that very much more this afternoon. Thank you.
Ray, thank you very much, and good afternoon, everybody. I take it as a great compliment we've got so many people here. I'm sure it's not just the free lunch, but to have resisted Boris Johnson, as you all have, to come and hear us talk about taxes is quite something. I guess as the tax minister, and therefore probably one of the most vilified members of the current government, I should set out for you at the beginning the lens through which I see taxation. It's basically three things. So firstly, every time I look at tax, I want it to be competitive. So we've talked about corporation tax in particular today, and as you'll know, that's on a downward trend from 28% in 2010 down to 19% today, and we're committed to reducing that further to 17%. It should also be fair, which is the subject of the discussion we're having this afternoon, and I'll come on to digital tax in that respect in particular, but we have a pretty progressive tax system in our country. If you would take income tax, for example, the wealthiest 1% pay about 28% of income tax. So we have a pretty progressive system there, and we've taken a lot of people, as you'll know, out of tax altogether through raising the personal allowance well ahead of the rate of inflation through time. And the final thing that I always have at the forefront of my mind is that tax should be paid. So we are constantly looking for all the loopholes that perhaps some of you make a fortune out of exploiting. I don't know. That would be a very unfair assertion. And we're pretty successful at that. So we have one of the lowest tax gaps in the world at 5.7%. We drain away about £33 billion a year in tax that we could collect, but we actually don't. But to move on to one other important longer-term concept, if you look at the world of tax from the Treasury, is the way in which the tax terrain and the business terrain is changing. So if you take, for example, the way in which people work and the advent of the gig economy and people setting up and incorporating themselves in order to provide their services to other companies or to do that through a self-employed status, you see whole areas from the taxman's point of view where stability is kind of crumbling before your very eyes. And the tax base itself in various areas is eroding. And if you look at the areas which are most stable, they are, to bring it into the focus of this debate today, in areas like, for example, business rates now and property-based taxes. So businesses and their buildings and their bricks and mortar can't just suddenly get up and disappear. They are there. We have the names, we have the addresses, we have the valuations, and we're able to go out and collect tax in a fairly robust way. And so, for example, with our business rates taxes, we're looking at about £25 billion worth of yield every year. Now, just as with the different way of working, of course, what we're looking at here is the different way in which corporations transact their business. And I think the point has been made, Claire made this, and I think it's absolutely relevant, is we're not talking with these companies about companies that are in the avoidance category. We're talking about an international tax regime, which to pick up on Paul's earlier comments, which goes back to the 1920s. And the government's view is that tax regime is not fit for purpose in terms of capturing the value that some of these businesses are generating in the United Kingdom today. So who are these businesses? And I think this is an important question, and I think we've touched on the kind of nature of them. But I would say there are three distinct categories. The first are online retailers. The second would be social media platforms, and the third would be search engines. And what they all have in common is this concept of creating value via a user, through the users interacting with the website, through the users providing content to that website, and so on. And if we look at our current international tax regime, as Paul explained, the basic criteria as to which jurisdiction has the taxing rights is where the economic activity occurs, and that in itself, in turn, can include concepts like where the bricks and mortar are, where the management is, where the intellectual property is held, where the risks and the big decisions are taken, where the capital is, and so on. But none of that picks up a business that's making hundreds of millions of pounds, potentially, through having this different model of value creation in the UK. So the question then, and I think this is where the fairness comes in, is what do you do about that? Do you just let it be? Or do you say, well, if I'm one of those stable areas of taxation like business rates, and to touch on Robert's comment, the social value of high streets and all these good businesses out there doing their stuff, is it right that they pay relatively high rates of tax on their activities, and yet there's this growing segment of the market. If you look at online retail, for example, 18% of all retail now is online. That's growing very rapidly. Is it right that certain areas of that part of our economy get relatively untaxed? And I think the government's firm view is that that is not right. So that then leads you into the kind of territory that Claire was referring to, the work that's been carried on at the European Union, where we've been very much in the vanguard of that, and also the work at the OECD in coming up with models which attempt to capture that value and tax it accordingly. And one of the problems that has been identified, of course, is that what you don't want to do if you were to move to a turnover-based tax is to actually penalise, for example, smaller new entrant businesses who are creating competition in the sector, yet may not be profitable in the early stages, but under a typical revenue tax, you would be taxing them nonetheless. And I think that's where, for example, within the context of the European Union's proposals, thresholds, de minimis thresholds, are an important element to consider. And, for example, I think under their proposal, you'd have to have a global turnover about 750 million euros and taxable income in the European Union of about 50 million euros before you that you fell due to this particular tax. So we are committed to doing something about this. We do recognise that the best route is a multilateral route for the reasons that Claire touched upon, which is that if you go unilaterally, then at the end of the day, there's the risk of double taxation, which is not something that is at all desirable. But we are left, though, with the realities of a very slow movement towards getting multilateral agreement. The Americans are relatively hostile to this particular suggestion. I think their positioning is that they're happy to look at it, the international tax regime, but they want a much broader debate than simply the matters that we're discussing this afternoon, which, of course, brings in all sorts of additional complexities and trade-offs and difficulties negotiating that through. There are others who are quite happy to have it the way it is. Singapore, I would say, is pretty much in that camp. They're perfectly happy. And there are the countries that Claire referred to earlier, including France and Italy and Spain and ourselves, who are quite forward-leaning on this whole area. So what the Chancellor made clear in his speech yesterday, was that we are prepared, if we have to go unilaterally and come up with some kind of interim approach. And the final thing I would say in terms of fairness is tax. Before I became the tax minister a year ago, I thought the tax was incredibly boring. And I still think bits of it are, incidentally. But actually, there are some taxes in some situations that really cut through right down to the man and woman in the dog and duck who will have a heated argument about it. And this is exactly the area that they get most heated about. The high street that they see under pressure, and nobody's suggesting, incidentally, as I think Claire alluded to, that by lowering business rates you're going to solve all the problems or the change that the high street's going to have to go through, because that's not going to happen. But people do feel very strongly about it, that companies out there should pay their fair share. We need to level the playing field. And so I think today's debate, Ray, is very opportune and right up to the minute. It is a space that we are looking at very closely. We have made a very clear set of signals, including the Chancellor's speech yesterday, that I think it's fair to say you can expect some things coming down the line at some point. I don't think I should go any further than that, but it's an area that we're very serious about. And thank you very much indeed for having the opportunity to address you today. Thank you.